This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Futuro.
Hello, Latino USA listener. It's me, Maria Hinojosa. And today, we want to share a recent episode of Latino Rebels Radio, which we also produce here at Futuro Media. It speaks to a topic that I've been reporting on for years, which is media representation or lack thereof. In this episode, guest Stacy de Armas, the Senior VP of Strategic Initiatives and Consumer Engagement for Nielsen, talks about what Latino and Latina representation looks like in 2022, what audiences want, and what needs to be done for more diverse programming. By the way, the Nielsen report is one that I look forward to understanding what's going on. So here's your chance to listen in. We're going to turn it over to Julio Ricardo Varela, who's host of Latino Rebels Radio. And of course, don't forget to subscribe. Enjoy.
Latino Rebels Radio, Latino Rebels Radio, Julio Ricardo Varela here. For this week, I want to talk about representation and Latinos and entertainment and the state of entertainment. I know people, you know, with all this Encanto happening, and then there's, you know, Being the Ricardos and West Side Story, which, you know, I have issues with, and other shows. I thought I'd bring someone who can give me a little data and context. So I have this fabulous guest from Los Angeles who is joining me from LA. So, fabulous guest from LA, introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hola, hola. My name is Stacy de Armas. I work with Nielsen. I think when people most often think of Nielsen, they think of ratings. They think of ratings for TV shows. And what they often don't know is that we also do social and economic research, and alongside measuring what audiences are watching, we actually also measure what is within content, so nice. Representation and content.
You all are doing fabulous work, because I do get the reports, but can I give you a little reveal of me?
Sure.
I was a Nielsen viewer in the 90s.
Were you?
When I was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with my roommate post-college, we got picked. And we had to, you know, handwrite everything we wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, everything. We had to handwrite everything we watched for the whole week and then send it in. And it was cool. It was like we did it for like half a year.
That's pretty awesome. A lot has changed now in how you collect data. Don't judge us on for the 90s. But yeah, actually, I learned probably about 8 or maybe 10 years ago that my parents were also, they were a Nielsen family when I was a little kid.
There you go.
Yeah. So people always say they've never heard of anyone who was part of the Nielsen, you know, ratings. Well, now you just met two.
Two. I know. It was. I loved it. I'm sorry. I was just so into it. I'd be like, what are we watching at 7:30? You know, anyway. All right. Let's talk about Nielsen now. Let's not talk about Nielsen in the 90s. So there was a recent report. It came out, I believe, last year, late in the year, called
Being Seen on Screen.
Being Seen on Screen. And we want to focus on the section that talks about Latinos with content, you know, because I really want to sort of explore this a little bit more besides just reading the report, and we'll link to the report. What are the biggest takeaways of just the findings that you discovered, that Nielsen discovered regarding like U.S. Latinos right now in terms of representation and being seen on screen?
Well, Latinos specifically, and frankly for all the other identity groups too, is that being seen on screen doesn't always equate or often doesn't equate to sort of quality representation, right? Our report still illustrates that the TV industry is falling short on representing Latinos across genres. And frankly, the perception of people watching this content is that it doesn't accurately represent Latinos. So that's not, though, a huge breaking story, right? We know that. But as we dove deeper into this data, it was really interesting. Like when you break it out, you know, overall, we say, well, representation is about 10%, right? We know Latinos are about 20% and on-screen representation is 10%. So you say, all right, that's awful. When you look at it and break it out, you can see that on broadcast television, it actually is a lot higher, right? It's about 22%. So on the cover, you know, or just when you look at it, you might say, hey, well, look at that. That's good representation. But in fact, the majority of that representation is really coming from Spanish language television, right? It's not. And so Spanish language television.
There's the rub. There's the rub right there. Sorry, I just jumped in. It's like, there's the rub. Continue. Sorry. It's nothing against Spanish language television. Nothing against Spanish language.
Nothing at all.
Continue.
Actually, Spanish language television, interestingly enough, serves up the broadest and the best representation we can find almost anywhere on television. There are, and it makes sense, right? Because it's Spanish language entirely. Most of the representation are of Latinos. They have the best gender representation found anywhere on TV. Great representation of Afro-Latinos. Every genre is covered. You can be anything on Spanish language.
So just to stay on this, so do you think that's evolved? Because Spanish language TV traditionally has not been as representative of our community. And you've seen that that's changed.
I think it has. And in general, Spanish language TV is really propping up all of the broadcast television. But to your point, if we remove Spanish language TV, which is serving up, you know, an awesome representation, then we're looking at about 6% of representation.
Wow.
So when we look at traditional non-Spanish language TV, Latinos are underrepresented in almost every genre that there is, you know, horror, comedy, action, adventure. And so that's why it's easy to push a number out there and everyone, and we can actually get into this in the second topic I think we're going to cover, to look at it and say.
Yeah. Look at you. You got a rundown of the show. I love it. You know, we're going to talk a little, you got a little podcast conversation. We are going to talk about that, but let's finish on this point because I think you raised a couple of really interesting points. It's not only about quantity, it's about quality. And just in the space that I'm in, you know, we're doing things now with Warner 150 creating pilots for late night television and, you know, news programming. And I looked at your report and there's like nothing. There's nothing that the things that we're doing with Latino Rebels Live, I'm like, wait a minute, there's no one doing this right now, according to Nielsen. Like, so there's certain sectors, even in the television industry, genres that are really low representative, right?
Really low. I think a lot is changing. And we've seen just in the past year, really, which is interesting, is this sort of not a power shift, but this change of the narrative where, you know, audiences are demanding better content and better representation within their content. Our data tells us that, you know, 60% of Latinas and 57% of Latino men say that they, you know, are more likely to watch content that features their identity group. We are seeking out content where we see ourselves on screen. And the more that that happens, the more that we're going to see change in the industry in terms of what gets greenlit, what makes its way to our TVs.
And last question about this, because I do want to talk about audio, because being in the audio space for years, I've been saying, you know, your report literally confirmed my world. But sticking to TV and film and all this, are you seeing progress, right? Have you seen some progress? It's safe to say that there's little steps happening. I mean, there's moments, right? There's moments happening, although then things get canceled, you know, like Kentified. But then there's a moment like ABC's pushing something on Hulu right now about a family in Sonoma Valley, which I'm like, well, that's intriguing. I mean, not that I love soap opera stuff, but I kind of do. But it's mix and match. You would think it's a mix. It's not. It's getting there. I mean, and then you think of something like the Encanto phenomenon that might help open more doors, right? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is changing. It is changing for sure. But I think the consumer behavior is what's actually, in my opinion, a big driver of that change. Think of the accessibility today, right? Like if you finding content that speaks to you either in Spanish, in culture, is easier for the consumer now than it ever has been before. Now we can talk about, you know, streaming services raising their prices and what that's going to do to accessibility. But the truth is, the availability of content that meets the needs of the consumer today has grown dramatically, which means that people are able to find and consume content that's meaningful to them. And as we're able to measure and evaluate that content, that drives oftentimes what ends up, you know, making its way to the bigger screens.
Got it. And that's where I'm going to just now switch to podcasts. Because in the end, you know, we've been doing this podcast since 2014. So this is our eighth year. And previous to that, we were doing other things. So I've kind of been in this space, at least in the audio space, doing this sort of create your own content since, you know, 2011, 2012. And back in the day, it was like we were niche, right? We were like,
yeah, super.
What are you doing? Right. What are you? Right. You know, it's like,
what?
Where are you going? What is this audio people talking to mics? And obviously at Futuro Media, we have audio storytelling with Latino USA, you know, In the Thick that I co-host with Maria, all the things that we're doing at Futuro Studios. But we kind of banked on the fact that podcasts were going to be sort of the place where you were just saying where people were going to find that quality and have access to it. So tell me how we got it right.
I would be happy to do that. And we actually did a little bit of we have a couple of pieces of work we did recently. One is a full podcast report. And then I did a little feature on podcasting and Latino specifically in our October version of the Hispanic Consumer Report. So essentially what you did right was exactly what you said, was being niche, right? Early on, and as I said, now accessibility has increased. So people are finding new content. It's being socialized more. But as when you started your work, right, several years ago or 8 years ago, you at the time finding meaningful content that was, you know, that was nuanced in the right ways and that hit the right points was difficult. Certainly it was difficult in traditional TV and cable. And, you know, in the audio space, we were really, you know, the options were really, really few. And so I think what made the magic work is this combination of spoken word, of delivering meaningful narrative in a way that is mobile, moves with people, people can find in a, you know, variety of places, and touched on topics that weren't necessarily being addressed in other places where there are spoken words, certainly not in the news. And, you know, television is really driven around, you know, in other types of content, different types of storytelling. So that's what you absolutely did right. I think the Latino community was ripe, as we can see. That's where we've seen the most growth, and in particular, and podcast genres like yours.
Right. And I think what's, Jen, and some of the stats that you all reported, I mean, when I look at them, it doesn't surprise me, but it's really nice to have this data. So for example, just when you talk about podcasts and, you know, the new way to reach Hispanics, and I'm quoting, podcast listening among Hispanics 25 to 39 has doubled in the past 3 years. And then this one, 70% of Afro-Latino and 70% of Hispanic women listen to podcasts between 1 and 5 times a month. And the number of Hispanic podcast listeners, again, I am quoting, has grown six times between 2010 and 2019 versus 4 times the rate growth among whites. You know, Latino Rebels being part of the several offerings that Futuro Media offers in the space, we're seeing it each and every day, and it's almost like we're riding this really cool wave because of the point that you just said, is if you do it right with the right intention, the people are going to start coming. Even though it was a risk a couple of years ago, it's starting to pay off. Your thoughts?
Well, and a lot of that, I think, is driven also by the, when I say the community was ripe, one of the things that I'm talking about specifically is our demographics, like our age. So we have seen great, big growth in podcast listening among older Latinos as well, like 55 plus, which is really interesting. But for younger Latinos, our community is, you know, is significantly younger than certainly the non-Hispanic white community, but you have this, you know, three quarters of the community under 35. So mobile, when I say mobile, I mean like working, moving, you know, and being able to consume meaningful content on the go without necessarily having to be, you know, looking at a screen. There is no community with more, you know, a greater distribution of young people than ours. And so it makes perfect sense that the community is, you know, seeking mobile bite-sized content that can move with them. And podcasting was just, it was perfectly positioned.
Natural. So specifically, let's talk a little bit about other findings. I mean, specifically Afro-Latinos that you spent a little bit of time. What findings did you find? Because I think you talk about being representative of the community, but it seems like the same problems, you know, you have Latinidad with a big L, but then forgetting sort of within that community that, you know, there's just different, you know what I mean? There's an Afro-Latino community and there's not everything's painted with such a broad brush. So what did you find? And I thought it was fascinating to see it from Nielsen because, like I said, being a Nielsen viewer, you know, being a Nielsen survey dude from the 90s, the company has changed in a lot of ways. There's a lot more nuance in what you're presenting with Latinidad. So tell me about that and how you guys are being intentional about that as well.
Sure. You know, prior really even to, well, I'll say America's Racial Reckoning a few years ago really opened up everyone's eyes, right? Personally, to explore their own identities, what equity really means, and certainly for companies, everything from how they're spending their dollars and with what companies to who they're speaking with. And certainly for Nielsen as well, we, you know, wanted to make sure that when we're talking about audiences, that we're being inclusive of all types of audiences. So we made several changes. We always used to bring forward data as Hispanics, right? So this big bucket. And, you know, even myself as a Cubana, I didn't necessarily, you know, when I would bring forward like Hispanic top radio formats, you know, there is, the, you know, the top formats and around Mexican regional or whatever, like some of those for me personally didn't have the same sense of weight or meaning because I listened to different types of music. But Nielsen brought forward this data in this bucket. And frankly, we did that because that's what the industry was asking from us. You know, brands and advertisers and marketers wanted to know how Hispanics behave. And I'm saying that with air quotes. You heard it in my voice.
I love the fact that you keep saying it like that. You keep saying Hispanics. Okay, continue in air quotes.
And I'm saying that like that because it's such a big bucket. And I think all of us, including your listeners, know that doesn't necessarily...
Yeah. It's problematic. We've done the history. You know, we dive, you know, we go in all in on identity and challenging it and challenging Latinidad and Hispanidad and everything. But I love the fact that you're mentioning it in air quotes. From now on, we just have to say the word Hispanic. Anyway, continue.
So we brought forward our data on Latinos as one big bucket. There, I'll change and say it that way. Even we knew, you know, certainly in our own experience that we wanted to get more nuanced with it. So the opportunity that presented itself was, you know, we always had the data and were able to share it, but there wasn't the demand. The industry has now begun to demand from us and from, you know, each other and from within their own organizations that we really take a closer look at identities within larger, intersectional identities. So the community and bringing forward, you know, Afro-Latinos and Afro-Latina data in both our representation on screen data and in our, you know, our television ratings data was, for me personally, it was one of the highlights of the work that we did last year, bringing forward intersectional data around LGBTQ Afro-Latinos, which we did in some of our work, allowed us to illuminate, not only cast a light on the community, but also on the lack of representation that exists. And when there is representation, it's really bucketed into, you know, one cast member or, you know, or one walk-on. And it's not really the type of representation that the community deserves.
Yeah, no, and as we all know, we're recording remotely, and I think the dog is in agreement with your comments.
My dogs agree that everyone deserves visibility and content.
See how I do this that during the time of pandemic? You see how
well done.
This is how we. You see, very. Thank you. So, listen, I know we talked a lot about the deficiencies, and I know you've talked a little bit about the small steps in progress, but obviously, you know, how do we get beyond that conversation? And what do you see moving forward, especially in the work that you do with big data and Nielsen and advertisers and companies? Where do you think this is going to take us? Are we getting to that inflection point where we might start seeing more immediate progress, or what are your thoughts?
I do think so. And I think the next step is, you know, as we've been looking at, you know, quantitative metrics, right? Who's on screen, who's visible. The next step is really not just brands and advertisers, but producers, directors, content developers, and others really beginning to better understand how people connect with content. And importantly, giving that content time to find its audience and grow. Today, we are, and I know you're thinking that.
Oh my God, you're like preaching, right? I'm like in church right now, and I'm like, what Stacey is saying? You know how many times I have said that in the last 11 years? And I don't want to cut you off because I know you want to finish your point. But when I would go into these places pitching Latino Rebels, even like in the early days, when I'm like, y'all, like, you need to let this grow. It's a foundation. You know, you got to plant it like a garden. But there was so much pressure to make something quick that I literally backed out of deals because I was like, I don't want to go down this route because it would mean sacrificing everything in our mission that we've done. And I know it sounds counterintuitive because, you know, I was very entrepreneurial before I moved to Futuro Media, but you're walking away from money. You know what I'm saying? You're walking away from things and you're like, nope. But then I realized, you know, stay the course, people will start coming to you, and we're starting to see that. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but it just, you really just resonated with me.
No, but you're right. I believe they are now, especially with, you know, there is a national narrative around supporting diverse media and creators. So I would expect you would see that and that will grow. But when it comes to content, I think, you know, that the challenge is we're living in such a fast-paced world that people often expect, and when I say people, I'm talking about, you know, the executives perhaps at the top, they're expecting TikTok-like viral video moments from some of the content that they're producing, and not having a nuanced understanding of the community and, you know, and giving content time to find its audience and grow, specifically content that's targeted to or about communities of color or communities like ours. And I'll also say the other challenge that I've noticed is that when you talked about planting it and letting it grow, but cultivating it is equally important. There is not, when I think about you mentioned Hentified earlier and the season 2 premiere, I mean, I do not think, and I don't have the data to support, but in my own opinion, I don't think that I saw the same type of promotion around the season 2 premiere that we did around season 1. And then, you know, you look at the debut and, you know, Netflix makes a decision around that. And you think, without properly growing and supporting, and Netflix is our great friend and we are super supportive of, you know, of their work. It's my personal opinion.
No, I'm the same way. I mean, you know, yeah. But I also think from my thread to end it with this, I think you're absolutely right. Because there's also these expectations to be like, you have to crack the top 10 or else you can't succeed. When in fact, what I think Hentified did, and I tweeted about this, is that it actually hit that niche and actually hit something that is very hard to quantify. And if you're walking away from those in the short term, eventually the community is going to be like, it leads to lack of trust. And there's a reason why there are voids. And there's a reason why the things that we create and the thing I created with Rebels still is long lasting after 11 years, because people see there's a connection to the community and it takes a long time. And that's sort of the counterintuitive thing between business and cultivating. And I think you're absolutely right. And I'm really, really, really happy that you're working at a place that has such cachet like Nielsen, because come on, I mean, Nielsen, you know, it's a gold standard. You know,
I appreciate that. I thank you for the opportunity. I do just want to reiterate what you said, which is I think the challenge now is it's left this void. And for the next creator in that space, you know, does that mean that their content can be as meaningful and as nuanced, or do they have to wash that out, water that down a little bit so that they can, you know, make it past season 2? We have a lot of room to grow here still. I think we need to continue supporting our diverse creators and making sure that the people that greenlight this content are Latino also through the top, so we can give this content some time to breathe. Thank you so much for the chance to be here.
Oh, I was gonna before you say the thank you, you're very, very nice. The last thing I want to ask is, like, where can people read more about these reports, or how can they follow you all? Because I think what's coming out is so valuable for anyone that wants to understand the Latino community, like in 2022. So where's the best way for people to find this information?
Right. The best place, we have a lot of content on Nielsen.com. That's sort of our main landing place, but an easily searchable or Googleable thing is you can look at Nielsen Latinos, Nielsen African American, Nielsen Asian American, and it'll bring you right to our microsite. We also have Nielsen.com/inclusion analytics, which is all of the inclusion and representation data for a variety of different identity groups on screen.
Well, Stacey there and Mus, thank you so much for being on Latino Rebels Radio.
Gracias.
So there. Now that is a conversation. You see? Where data meets creators. And I'm very thankful that Stacey really broke it down for us in a way that goes beyond a report. And so, you know, if you're an independent creator, if you have a project out there and feel like you're doing it right, I know it sounds like annoying sometimes to stick to it, but it's coming. I feel it. I feel the inflection point, and it's really interesting that a place like Nielsen is also feeling it. So, all right. So if you like what you heard, rate and review us, share this podcast. Follow us at Latino Rebels. Follow me at Julito77. Follow Oscar Fernandez, our producer at Futuro Media for Latino Rebels Radio, but he also produces the Latino Media Collective out of DC. So give the Latino Media Collective a follow. And yeah, and like we always do, we always close out with La Plebe en Venas Abiertas, Julio Ricardo Varela, Latino Rebels Radio. We out of here.
Opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's ODOO.com/latino. From PR.